So, so this workshop is about how it's spoken ability and in many materials, including heavy functions and mid types. Spoken ability tends to get pronouns near some continuous state position that occurs in the matter. And before the spoken ability sets in, the parent state is usually non-formed liquid. And this is because of some long-range interaction mediated by water current fluctuations that is quicker at the quicker moment. And this long-range interaction induces some small angle scattering for the singular and non-fold scattering. And because of this non-fold scattering, the singular at small momentum, if you have a particle near the foam surface, so constraint from the phase space that usually works for foam liquid is not enough to suppress the non-fold scattering. And as a result, quadrat particle lose coherence and there's no quadrat particle description. And so the goal is to develop some theoretical framework where we can understand those metallic states without quadrat particle in some controlled ways. That is the goal. So, roughly speaking, there are three axes that characterize different non-form liquid states. Of course, the state dimension is an important parameter. And as we know, if we go down to the lower dimension, then quantum fluctuations become stronger at the infrared. And for a given space dimension, one can also think about different dimensions of foam surface. Say, in three-dimensional space, you can have Dirac points or line mode or two-dimensional foam surface. And as the dimension of the foam surface increases, you have more and more gaps. Therefore, your ground state and more entanglement. As you can expect, interesting thing happens in this corner, and lower space dimension and large dimension of surface. And also, non-form liquid states, properties of non-form liquid state are different depending on whether the critical boredom associated with this order parameter is centered around zero momentum or at non-zero finite momentum. So for example, you can have a 3 equal 0 phase condition like numeric rotation symmetric breaking phase condition or Fermat phase condition. In this case, order parameter fluctuations are centered around 3 equals 0, and therefore the critical modes carry very small momentum. And those critical modes with small momentum can couple with electrons everywhere in the foam surface. And as a result, in this case, the entire foam surface becomes hot in the sense that there's no quadrat particles anywhere. On the other hand, when you have a spin density wave or a charge density wave condition, then order parameters have a finite momentum, and in this case, at low energy, only those electrons near a discrete set of hotspots remain strongly coupled with the order parameters at low energy. So in this case, most likely, the electrons away from the hotspot will be very different from this hotspot electrons, and you need to treat them on a different set. Okay, so the most interesting case is, of course, 2 plus 1 dimension, where you expect to have a large strong contact fluctuations in the infrared, but there, coupling become order of one in the low energy unit, and it's been very hard to understand those 2 plus 1 units and not the liquids. So it is desired that we come up with some way to deform the theory such a way, in such a way that we can understand that. But by taking quantum fluctuation, to the extent that we can include them in a controlled manner, but not completely. The easiest thing you can think of is to introduce some large number of quantum flavor, although electron come with, say, 2 spin flavor. You can think of large orbital resonance, for example. And then, when there's large number of flavor, as the critical order parameter, the boson propagate, it mixed with a continuum of particle excitation. And since there's a large number of channels for the critical boson can decay into, as boson propagates, it drags along a large cloud of particle excitation. And as a result, boson become heavily damped, and therefore fluctuations of the critical boson become suppressed. And this suppression is usually enough to tame the quantum fluctuations completely for relativistic field theory in the large and mini. However, this is no longer the case when there is a quantum surface. And in this case, it's because there are so many gapless excitations near the quantum surface. So the quantum surface is very soft. And this gapless excitation near the quantum surface magnify quantum fluctuation in the low energy limit in such a way that even in the large limit, the mean field theory is qualitatively wrong. So as of today, even the large limit is not understood. We don't know why it's the true nature of non-quantum liquid even in the large limit. The only exception is the Kyle case. A Kyle non-quantum liquids, for example, arise in the following situation. So if you have, say, some topological state like quantum Mohr state, then you have a Kyle edge mode, and you have a 1D Kyle edge mode, and you have a stack of such 1D Kyle edge mode, and you come on tunneling between the layers, then here you have a two-dimensional conducting state. But this is higher in the sense that the quantum velocity in this direction has only one side. There's only one side of the quantum surface. The other side is spatially separated. So here, on this side, you have a higher quantum surface. And in this case, because of the absence of this the other patch, the Lorentz spectral theory has some nice analytic structure, and there you can use that to show that in this case actually the one loop scaling is defect. So this is pretty much like a spectral field theory where there is some holomorphic structure, and then usually one loop make a function size exact if you have enough person. So in this case too, the diameter critical point is the exact value of diameter critical point to third, and the scaling menu of the electron operator is known.
So exact, you mean there is no high order loop, right?
Yeah. As far as this exponent is concerned. The scaling function is not known, but the exponent. So this is a very special case. For non-coil case, if you have a closed form surface or two patches of point surface with the pine buzzer and heritage, and this does not apply for non-caliber, non-foam liquids. In that case, so far we don't. So we need to introduce other small pines to control the theory. So there are two different schemes. The first scheme is so-called dynamic tuning. So there, what you do is to tune the dynamics of degrees of freedom, like Bolden, the critical Bolden. So initially, Bolden has a k-square dispersion, but you make it steeper by making the power smaller. And then you can, the quantum fluctuations are suppressed at near epsilon to zero. And it was originally proposed by Nayak and Dietrich. And then recently, you also consider this kind of dynamical tuning in the presence of a large number of flavors. And also, superconducting instability has been studied. So the pro of this approach is that in this way, this aims to keep all the symmetries of the original 2 plus 1 series. But the con is that by tuning this exponent, you lose the locality. The theory becomes narrow. So the other approach is so-called dimensional regularization scheme, where you tune the space dimension. And here, the advantage is that locality is kept, but the downside is that you break some of the symmetries of your two-plus-one theories. So here, I will focus on this approach.
So when you say symmetry, do you mean like a spin hall or spin rotation symmetry or spatial rotation symmetry? What symmetry?
Some, it depends on different non-foam liquids. For example, in spin density wave case, you break some translations.
Oh, translation.
Yes. Or either in many cases, you break some global U1. You have to turn on some. So let me explain more about this. So it depends what symmetry you have to break, depends on your system. And maybe there is some tension between symmetry and locality. Maybe there's no way to really make the theory quickly coupled, keeping both localities. So let's try to tune the dimension. So as we know, as we go to higher dimension, quantum fluctuations become weaker, and there is some upper critical dimension near which you can control quantum fluctuation. In relative security theory, such dimensional regularized scheme has been very well developed and is very straightforward. In the presence of common circuits is not so straightforward, and one reason is that there are many different ways to do that. And that's because you have both space dimension and form surface dimension as an independent parameter. So here, our goal is to understand this theory. One dimension of form surface, so this M is the dimension of form surface. One dimension of form surface in two space dimensions. This is the goal. But there are different directions to approach this point. So the most naive thing you can think about is to move in this diagonal direction. So by going this direction, you fix D minus N. D minus N is the codimension of the quantum surface, the dimension that is perpendicular to the quantum surface. And in this direction, it is fixed to be 1. And there, say, this point, you go to 3 space dimension, and then you have a two-dimensional point surface as you do this is one direction. Or you may fix N by moving this direction. There you keep the dimensional point surface to be 1, but increase the embedding space dimension. So usually So here you have a line node embedded in the filament momentum space. So line node means if you cut the line potential direction, that is like a Dirac point. There are such Dirac points form a line. So it's a line of Dirac points. So which way to choose? And it turns out that it's better to choose this direction for the reason that I will explain. The reason is that the theory with the one-dimensional quantum surface has a very special property that is not shared by any other theory with n greater than one. So in a sense, theories matter with the quantum surface dimension greater than one is qualitatively different from the matter with one-dimensional quantum surface. So why is it the case? So when the quantum surface dimension is one, in any embedded momentum, at each point on the quantum surface, there is only one direction that is tangential to the quantum surface, independent of the embedded momentum. And that has a very important consequence. Suppose I have a low fermion at, say, momentum k, and another fermion at momentum k prime, and I want to know how strongly they are coupled at low energy. So they can, in principle, operate with each other by exchanging this critical fluctuation with momentum q. But at low energy, this fermion k wants to stay near the fermion surface before and after scattering. That means this fermion wants this q to be tangential to the fermion surface at momentum k. However, k prime cannot stay near the quantum surface if this q is tangential to the quantum surface at k. Because generally, tangential vector at k prime and tangential vector at k do not coincide. And the only exception is the antipolar points. So because of this reason, at substantially low energy, except for the antipolar points, fermions at different angles are decoupled at low energy. So physically speaking, suppose I want to know the electron Green's function in RPS, and suppose I want to know the dynamical properties of electron at momentum k. And you can ask, how much do you need to know to extract that information? And here, you do not need to know about the global property of your quantum surface. You do not need to know the size of the quantum surface or the shape of the quantum surface. The electron Green's function at momentum k is insensitive to those short distance information. For example, whether there's a dent in the quantum surface here, it doesn't matter for the electron Green's function at this moment.
In what you're saying, can compare it with importance of forward scattering and also
small angles.
And the emergence of the stomographic idea, that is, essentially electrons moving in one direction, they alone interact among each other strongly than other electrons. So that's the idea behind tomography. Is that connected?
Tomographic idea can be applied even to higher dimensional forms.
Right.
But here, the key point is the fact that there's only one tangential
the similarity to tomography in the sense that different directions decouple.
Decouple, exactly.
But on the other hand, in tomography, each direction you have a one-dimensional field for the strands or pseudo-filaments. Here, that's not true. Along each direction, you actually cannot have a two-dimensional field. That's a crucial difference.
So this is very special for metals with one dimensional quantum surface. So we call it the emergent locality momentum space. There's a sense of locality momentum space.
Okay, that means it's very relevant for d equal to 2, where you have only one direction.
And it doesn't have to be equal, even in three dimensions. Mm. As far as the Fermi surface dimension is one, you have this property. Suppose you have a line green in our form surface embedded.
Embedded, sure.
So this is a statement independent of D. Mm. And this property no longer holds in higher dimensional foam surface. For example, suppose you have a two-dimensional foam surface. Then you pick any 2 points, say K and K prime, and you can always find at least one common tangent vector. And therefore, these two formulas remain, can stay close to the foam surface before and after scattering. And you can always find such Q.
Sorry, so in the previous case, you will have no dissipation, is that right?
No dissipation.
Right.
You mean external dissipation?
No, internal. I mean resistivity, scattering.
Oh, you mean?
Anything.
You need some momentum dissipation like disorder or unclub, but yeah. But here, I'm not.
You could still have an interesting optical conductivity, but the DC conductivity of the theory would be infinite.
Without such dissipation.
You're right.
Okay, so in this case, fermions remain strongly coupled across the entire foam surface. So physically, what that means, suppose you want to know the electron beam function at momentum k, you cannot extract that information without knowing the structure of the entire foam surface. For example, if you have a band of the foam surface here, that affects the electron beam function at this moment. Okay. So formally speaking, your low-energy effective theory cannot be defined without specifying the entire foam surface. So that's our complication. And another effect is that, in particular, the size of the foam surface, Kf, enters as a scale. In the previous case, in the n equal 1 case, the Kf does not enter for some properties, for the properties that are local in momentum space, like expected function. Of course, it always enters in thermodynamic properties, but for the properties that are local in momentum space here, Kf drops, here Kf enters as a relevant scale. So for this reason, it's not a good idea, I think, to deform your theory this way. Because by deforming this way, you introduce new state in your problem that is absent at n equal 1 theory, at two-dimensional theory. Okay. So that's why you choose to go this direction. So you keep the only surface dimension to be 1, and therefore, Kf remains decoupled from the problem along this path. Of course, if you want to understand the three-dimensional matter, then of course Kf is important, but not for two-dimensional matter. Okay, so that's the Hodgkin statement. Theories with the foam surface dimension greater than 1 are qualitatively different from matters with one-dimensional surface, and therefore these kind of belongs to some unique class that is different from this.
Could you explain more about this IRUV mixing?
Yeah.
So what do you mean by the global Fermi surface affect infrared property?
Yes. So for example, suppose you have a Fermi surface, two different Fermi surfaces with different shape.
Yep.
And one, so this one is globally convex.
Okay.
And suppose this is not.
Ah, I see.
And suppose you want to know the spectral function at this moment far away from this depth.
Okay, I see.
Okay. And then you have different scale.
I see.
The spectral function is sensitive to the presence of
other
depth.
Okay.
Of this inflection point.
Already from them. Do you know any strongly coupled theories in time?
Yeah. So in 2+1D, this only affects lower. But Yeah. Here, if you say move along this direction.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once you're in 3D, in the end, everything seems to be weakly coupled anyway, so.
Maybe not in the presence of such, such inflection.
Is that right? Okay.
Maybe that's true for the global context.
Yeah.
So even 3 plus 1 D, maybe this kind of information can be a one way to classify different, whether it's like global context or whether it's common inflection.
Yeah, so Van Hoff singularity.
Yeah, this is like Van Hoff singularity.
Yeah, that can certainly change.
Yeah. This kind of phase transition has a shape of the form surface changes, right? You go through some flat, where the quadrant curvature vanishes and then turns a quick turn on. Some kind of, yeah. Okay, so we choose to move along this direction. So at this point is the usual form surface in 2D, and then this point, so 1D line mode in 3D, and there are different ways to obtaining the 1D line mode in 3D, but one way is to say start with the usual vector as a 2D form surface and turn on some order parameter that gaps out the form surface except for the line. And one way of doing that is a p-way pairing. If there are p-z-way pairing, right? on 3D meta, then you have a ring of load at kz equals to zero plane. So because of this gapping process, you will somehow have to break some symmetry. In this case, you break U1 global symmetry to Z2. So this is a P-wave, so line mode in P-wave superconducting state, and this is a 2D map. Both are physically realized system, and then one can write down a theory that continuously incorporates these two theories. And it turns out that in this direction, the upper critical imaging is 5½, meaning that this theory, if you have a line node in 3D, and if those line node is coupled to some critical boson whose momentum is centered around zero, like numeric or gauge theory, in that case, the coupling is still relevant. So in the infrared, it's free theory. And the marginal near 5½ dimension, and below 5½, there's some window where you can include the quantum fluctuations in a controlled way. And indeed, the coupling between the electron and the critical mode in the infrared flows to some stable fixed point. And actually, there's one interesting thing here. So, if you study this effective theory for non-quantum liquid, there's always something strange than the relativistic theory. Here, in usual relativistic theory, in this kind of dimensional regularization, the experiment parameter is usually the integer powers of coupling, e squared. In this case, it turns out that expanding parameter is a fractional power of the computer coupling.
And you get this iteration.
Yeah.
How do you?
Yeah, so the region is a power. So this is the boson propagator. And this is a bare, so this is basically frequency, and this is a bare antenna. However, the boson propagator is strongly dressed by the particle excitation, and this leads to strong lambda damping. And And lambda limiting is an interaction effect, so therefore it is proportional to E squared. Nonetheless, this is, so you may say this is smaller in the weak coupling. However, for given weak, for given coupling, or for given epsilon, this is eventually relevant in the low energy. The exception to low energy, this dominates the dynamics of the boson. And then the bare kinetic becomes actually become irrelevant compared to this lambda limiting. And because it is proportional to E squared, right? So you have to include some quantum effect up front. And as a result, in the weak coupling, there's some enhancement of your quantum prediction. That's why expanding parameter is not dispersed on some smaller power. So in the smaller E, this is not.
But you can still count the graphs,
yeah,
using naive counting of perturbation theory. I mean, if I want to figure out some graph to some order,
yeah,
I just need to do the bare counting and
then you have the bare counting and then you have to take into account the effect.
That just reduces a little bit, but
yeah,
graphs.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So yeah, right. So it enhances, but not too much. So you can still control it.
Perfect.
Okay. So and then you can compute the anomalous momentum, then you can measure the RPS, and then step to keep the collective fluctuations, etc. And here, one nice aspect of this dimensional regularization is because you increase the co-dimension of the common surface, you kind of separate out the superconducting instability. So that at least for small epsilon, there is no perturbative superconducting instability. So this is a stable non-conducting current. And however, superconducting fluctuations are enhanced by this critical fluctuations. That is consistent with the result that Sibir and Sandy Max made it most of any other class. Of course, in two dimension, you have to set epsilon equal 1/2. Then higher order effects are important, and in principle, those higher order effects can make some four-forming interaction relevant. And in that case, the critical point non-forming state will be unstable against the pair. But at least near the appropriate minimum, you have stayed now. Okay. So now let's switch gear and to consider the case with the non-zero wave vector, like spin density wave. Again, for the same reason that it's caused. It's better to keep the dimension of Fermi surface to 1 and tune the phase means. And in this, and then, so let's first think about the spin density wave theory in two dimension. So you have some Fermi surface. Here I'm considering the case with C4, four-fold rotation symmetry. And suppose I have a potentially anti-ferromagnetic condition with wave vector pi pi. And then there are 8 hotspots connected by this ordering vector. And then the minimal theory includes the kinetic energy for those electrons near the hotspot, which is this line. And then the 3 components of the order parameter, that is gap list at the critical point. And then the coupling that can be used to sketch an electron back and forth is this hotspot. So this is the minimal theory. You don't need to look at this equation in detail, but it's a very heavily studied theory. But so far, there has been no controlled analysis of this, this theory because it's a strong coupling. So this has a few parameters, but let me just emphasize one parameter, which is Fermi velocity. So in general, the Fermi velocity at the hotspot is not parallel to the ordering wave vector. There is some component that is parallel to the ordering wave vector, and there is some component that is perpendicular. And you can always choose your scalar momentum to set one of the Fermi velocity to one. So I here choose the Fermi velocity along Q vector to be one. And then this V is the dimensionless part of the Q vector, basically describes the angle between this part of the Fermi surface and this part of the Fermi surface. When V is zero, this part and this part are masculine. But in there, V is not zero, there's an angle between two hotspots coming by the Fermi surface. And there are other parameters like boron velocity and coupling between electron and collective models. And then again, because this is Fermi coupled, we increase the space dimension. And here, unlike the previous case, because of this finite angle between the two heads, you can ignore the local curvature of the Fermi surface. And this makes the difference in upper critical dimension. And as a result, the upper critical dimension is 3 space dimension, not 5. And that has to do with the fact that you can ignore local curvature. And this, in a sense, is nice because this the physical theory lies at the upper critical dimension. So here I have a line node embedded in 3 space dimension, and if this semi-mentor undergoes a spin density wave transition, then that theory is described by this theory at this point. And actually, this theory is rather the upper critical dimension and one can sort of detect it. So, and then below that upper critical dimension, you can include the quantum fluctuation part of it. So let me first explain the result in 3D, when epsilon equal to 0. So you have a line of the 3D dimension coupled to anti-dimensional fluctuation. So there, in the infrared, theory flows to the free theory. So in a sense, inflection is marginally irrelevant. And then in the true infrared, so you have a very good dynamic effect on this one. Frequency scales linearly with the momentum away from the hotspot. However, before the theory flows to the free theory in the true infrared, there's a low correction that modifies the dynamical properties. And there are two important things. First one is that this velocity, V, flows to zero as a log. This very slow flow, but still in the very long wavelength limit, in the very long distance limit, this V flows to. So you have to approach to this hotspot very closely in order to be able to see this effect, but it is there. And it means that locally, these two hotspots get masked. So they become parallel, which you can in principle measure that to RPS. And then another thing is that because of this local masking, the collecting modes that scatter from this to this hotspot also become disturbance. So, and in the sense that the boron velocity C also flows to zero, the same low flow pressure. And this statement is exact. So eventually at very low energies of free theory, or you end up having some local theory with both the critical fluctuation rules, the dispersion, and you have a local nesting.
So effective mass averages in some sense.
Yeah.
Right.
But here the theory, so you may say, if the particle loses the dispersion, then it may be highly singular. However, here the interaction goes to zero even faster. therefore your view is to remain stable. So this is stable for the local Bodmer formula. So below three dimension, if you lower your dimension by epsilon, then you get a non-form liquid with dielectric exponent greater than one. So if you look at the spectral function, you no longer have a other particle, but you have a hollow singularity at hotspot. So if you look at the spectral function at the hotspot as a function of frequency, then it has a hollow singularity. And again, the Fermi surface gets basket, but here it's faster. It only has one lobe. And the boson moves the dispersion in the direction that is, in some directions. But we believe that this property, the boson losing dispersion, this property is not, may not be protected at higher lobes. We are currently looking at the higher. Okay, and then this is again a stable non-form liquid, so there is no immediate superconducting perturbative instability, but there are a lot of enhanced fluctuation, and we kind of examine different channels, and the channel that we found is most enhanced is a bond density wave order, similar to what Sudhir talked about on Tuesday. But it's a little bit different channel. So here is some bond-based wave order that breaks the inversion symmetry, not the time boson. It's like some kind of current order in momentum space. And the second strongest one is the D-wave pairing. And this D-wave pairing is degenerate to the D-wave bonded wave that Peter mentioned through some pseudo-spin symmetry. And what was surprising is that there's another channel that is as strong as the D-wave channel, and that was paired density wave channel, where electrons are paired near two electrons near one hotspot that pair. So it's a finite momentum pairing. And we found that it's as strong as found that it's as strong as the D-wave pairing. And there's the physical mechanism for this finite momentum pairing is profound. Suppose I have two electrons near one hotspot. Okay. And then by exchanging the high pi spin fluctuation, these two electrons can scatter into the lower engineering put on another hotspot.
It's like home track.
Yeah, it's like include. And then in some channel there you can always find some attractive channel by choosing phase here and here appropriately. And because of the local, usually this kind of process has a penalty from the suppressed phase space. But in this case, because locally you have a flat form surface because of the emergent masking, it turns out that this is as strong as the zero momentum D wave. Okay, and so that was the spin density wave quantum critical point with the fourfold rotation symmetry. And there, the fourfold rotation symmetry guarantees the momentum in the x direction and y direction scale in the same way. And only the frequency of the dielectric exponent was not trivial.
Yeah, but the dynamic critical exponent only defines for the fermion. For the boson, there's z is infinity, whereas z is finite for the fermion. Right? This is the peculiar thing. When the Z appears as a function of, well, okay, they're log.
There's an only log part.
The only log, but it's the same Z.
Yeah, yeah. Same Z. Okay, but suppose you have some matter without tetragonal symmetry, say, thematic, and your home surface is not awkward rotation symmetry, and you can also think about some spin density condition within such thematic matter. And in this case, because we don't have awkward rotation symmetry, X and Y momentum doesn't have to stay in the same way. Although at the tree level here, if you linearize a dispersion with alpha, you have some finite errors in the extraction Y directions. So at the tree level, X and Y momentum have the same scaling dimension. But that is not protected by symmetry, and they can receive different quantum correction. And it turns out that it is the case. So if you choose the momentum along the ordering vector, so this is the ordering vector, it is chosen to be along the y direction. Then, if you choose the dimension of the y momentum to be 1, then this x momentum has an anomalous dimension. And if this dimension is modified by the quantum effect, besides the frequency, also, besides the fact that frequency receives anomalous. So in this example, both frequency and different momentum components have anomalous momentum, so they scale differently. So in that sense, you can call it an anisotropic non liquid. And there's an important consequence here. So this is the bare home surface. But because of this anomalous dimension of x momentum compared to y momentum, near the hotspot, the y momentum and x momentum scales differently with some non-digital power. And this is a universal exponent, which you can compute perturbatively, which means that as you approach this hotspot, say this part, locally, initially it was linear, but it is deformed into this universal power ratio. And this exponent, this shape is governed by this anomalous dimension of the y and x moment. Okay, so let me summarize. The matters with one-dimensional form surface, we can use so-called patch description. Patch description is a theory that captures only the local patch of your foam surface. And this is possible because of the absence of UVI energy. Even the fermions away from that patch do not affect the dynamics of electrons near that patch. And this patch description is not valid when the foam surface dimension is greater than 1. So therefore, in order to understand the two-dimensional non-foam liquid, it is better to keep the dimension of foam surface to 1 and tune the embedding dimension. And for Q equals 0 critical point, the strange thing was that you have some non-magnetic powers of coupling as expanding parameter. And for the density wave critical point, you have a emergent locality with on C2 symmetry, different directions have a different state. Okay, so of course the real interesting question is what happens in 2D. So there are two scenarios. So what we have seen is that we approach the 2D non-foam liquid, we try to approach the 2D non-foam liquid starting from some upper critical dimension. And then near the upper critical dimension, we have a stable non-foam liquid under control. And as we Francoca epsilon we approach the 2D. And one scenario is that this non-formulable state remains stable all the way to 2D. You cannot exclude this possibility. But probably the more likely scenario is that as epsilon increases, the onomous minimum of some other channel increases, and then they become relevant below a certain minimum. If that's the case, then the 2D non-formulable state is not stable, and then the strict platform will be covered by some competing order, density weight loss. But still an open question what happens. Okay, so we're good. Thank you very much.
So in two dimension, it's a non-formal liquid usually could like related to this gauge fluctuation. So in your model in 3D, it looks like there's no such kind of gauge fluctuation. So you know how to connect this.
So
understand.
It can be gauge field, but it can be some other order of time. Okay. Depends on what other source. So, say for critical zero, a critical boson could be gauge field, mm-hmm. or it could be some order parameter like Fermat order parameter or Ivy numeric order parameter. So, my original critical boson depends on what field I see. But from the point of view of Lorentz spectral theory, they are.
This strong non-elasticity e to the power of by 3.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of that? Because whenever you have non-elasticity, I vaguely remember even in quantum electrodynamics, after some de-summation, you have non-elasticity in terms of fine structure constant. So some implication. So
you mean what is the physical implication?
Yeah. What is the implications of this?
Yeah, I view this as an enhancement of quantum fluctuation due to the presence of gap disk. Yeah, and in the small epsilon. So here, e to the 4/3 is order of epsilon. And now the e square is a smaller object, but your perturbation is not organized in terms of bare coupling, and that is due to this lambda damping. So lambda damping is an interaction effect. It's a leading order effect. So bare dynamics is no longer the leading order effect. That's why you have to resum some part of diagrams up front.
Okay, let's thank Constance.